Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who is to come. The elders around the throne, the angels around the throne bow. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is to come. We, your people on the earth, say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and is to come. We pray, come, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Good to see all of you this morning. I'm Pastor Mike. If you're a guest with us, welcome to summertime here in Tennessee. And if you have your Bibles, find your place in Revelation chapter number 3. Revelation chapter number 3 is where we're continuing these days talking about because He reigns. Because He reigns, and the Lord Jesus' great promises to us about heaven and what will be ours when we're in heaven. We're glad to have all the Clarks packing a pew over there, and hope all the people in our church will go by and say hello to them as they're here. We're honored to have all of you. Welcome, and we'll try to behave, and we're trying to do our best to keep Jeff Clark straightened out around here. I received a letter from Senator Mark Pody and also Representative Monty Fritz. On April 16, 2024, Governor Lee signed H.U.R. 803 into law. This House joint resolution calls those who are physically able and spiritually inclined to do so to join in a 30-day season of prayer and intermittent fasting for the month of July as a means of humbling ourselves to receive God's mercy, grace, and blessing in Tennessee and in our nation. This document embodies a bipartisan recognition that the issues we are facing cannot be effectively addressed without the intervention and favor of our Lord. One of the co-sponsors of this is our own Brother Jody Barrett, who is state representative, and we thank God for him and for the others who signed this. And at this time, I'll read this to our church from said representatives and senators. A resolution to seek God's hand of mercy, healing on Tennessee. Whereas our state and nation suffer from violence committed upon our citizens by our citizens. And whereas our state and nation suffer from violence committed upon our citizens by non-citizens. And whereas acts of violent crime in our schools are unacceptable. And whereas human trafficking is unacceptable and violent evil in our state, enslaving lives and violating the core values of our Creator endowed rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And whereas drug addiction overwhelms our families, our government finances, our workforce productivity, as well as our health care and our law enforcement resources. And whereas deadly fentanyl flows uncontrollably across our southern U.S. border, resulting in the deaths of Tennesseans, and whereas driving under the influence, drunk driving, results in great pain and injury for Tennessee families, and whereas we have approximately 9,000 children in need of foster care, indicating a brokenness in many Tennessee homes, and whereas evidence of corruption in our federal government stands to impact every Tennessean, and whereas our national and state founders trusted in the omnipotent hand of Providence to guide and bless our land, and whereas over decades these leaders called our people to seek out the Creator's favor by issuing proclamations like the one from John Adams on April 15, 1799, I won't read it. Whereas we hold that our founders correctly acknowledge truth in their words, and whereas we hold that except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain, Psalm 127. Therefore, be it resolved by the House of Representatives of the the 113th General Assembly of the state of Tennessee, the Senate concurring that the period of July 1st, 2024 through July 31, 2024 be recognized as a time of prayer and fasting in Tennessee. Be it further resolved that we recognize that God, as Creator and King of all glory, has both the authority to judge and to bless nations or states. Be it further resolved that we, as public servants in the Tennessee General Assembly, seek God's mercy upon our land and beseech Him to not withdraw His hand of blessing from us. Be it further resolved that we recognize our sins and shortcomings before Him and humbly ask His forgiveness. Be it further resolved that we ask the Lord Jesus to heal our land and remove the violence, human trafficking, addiction, and corruption. Be it further resolved that we ask that the Holy Spirit fill our halls of government, our classrooms, our places of business, our churches, and our homes with peace, love, and joy. Be it further resolved that we call upon all those who are physically able and spiritually inclined to do so to join in a 30-day season of prayer and intermittent fasting as we begin a new fiscal year as a means of seeking God's blessing and humbling ourselves to receive His grace and mercy, transforming ourselves as communities, our state, and our nation. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we join these believers, these others who stand in these positions of authority in our state and our governor, and we pray, Lord, that You would show us Your forgiveness and grace, and that You would do a work of revival among the people who are believers in Tennessee, and that You would awaken the lost who do not know, who have no hope in Jesus Christ in the state of Tennessee. I pray that our church would be faithful to carry out and do the work that we are to do of sharing the gospel and making disciples wherever we go. We ask that You would give us wisdom to do it, and we pray that, Lord, You would hear our prayers as we, through this month, as we do every day, but especially in this month as we come together as Your people to give our time focused to pray for this state and for the grace of God and mercy and for the Lord Jesus to be honored and glorified. We thank You for these leaders from the House and also from the Senate who had the courage to put this forth, and we thank You for the governor signing it, and we thank You for their leadership, and we pray that You would help us as we all stand together and call upon the name of Jesus for revival and awakening in Tennessee. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This is posted on the website, and so I will encourage you, we'll remind you through the month that this is one of our obligations we've taken on as a church as we pray together along with this call from our leaders in government. Now, Revelation chapter 3. The Lord Jesus is speaking to the worldly church at Sardis. This church was in bad shape. This church, many in this church had gone back in their relationship to God. They weren't living as they once did. The life they had and the spiritual life that once thrived was now about gone because they had backslidden and gone away from God. So we read these words in chapter 3, verse 1, to the preacher of the church in Sardis. Write, he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars says this, I know your deeds, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen the things that remain, which were about to die. For I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of my God. So remember what you have received and heard, and keep it and repent. Therefore, if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come to you. But you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Now we come to these promises. He who overcomes will thus be clothed in white garments. and I will not erase his name from the book of life. And I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Our focal truth today is this, that believers will be eternally accepted in heaven. Believers will be eternally accepted in heaven. Perhaps the greatest need in people's lives today is that they desire and long to be accepted. They'll do all kinds of things, live in all kinds of lifestyles, trying to search, find someone who will accept them or some group of people who would accept them. The great blessing of being in Jesus Christ and being saved is we are accepted in Jesus Christ by God the Father because He is our Lord, our Savior, and He is the one who died for our sins. Nothing will be more joyful. Nothing will be more honorable. Nothing, I cannot describe to you this unimaginable moment. This is for all of you as believers. This is for you individually. This is for all the believers globally who have ever walked and served the Lord Jesus and stood not being ashamed throughout the centuries. They will all have their moment. They will have their moment when they will stand beside the Lord Jesus Christ who will, as He says here, are you reading your Bible? Can you believe this? I will confess His name, every believer's name. From all the generations, I will confess His name before my Father and before the holy angels. There is nothing more assuring than knowing that I am accepted in Jesus Christ, no matter what the world may think, no matter what others may think, I am accepted in Jesus. And because I am accepted in Jesus, I am loved by God the Father. You see, heavenly acceptance, my friend, is one of the joys of heaven. Heavenly acceptance. You will for eternity be an accepted one in the glorious place of heaven. You will be an accepted one with the other millions upon millions and myriads of accepted ones. And the angels will marvel at all of God's saints forever and ever because of the glorious grace of God that has been done in saving sinful human beings. You see, believers experience eternal acceptance. My acceptance in Jesus Christ here opens to an eternity of heavenly acceptance. I want you to think about that today. When you feel rejected because you stand for Jesus. You see, that's the difference here in the world. We are rejected here. We are pushed aside. We are marginalized. We are ignored. If you begin to talk about the Lord Jesus in the marketplace or in the world, you're dismissed as being one of those religious crazy people. This is the world's way. It's easy for us to celebrate in here. It's easy for us. We gain strength in numbers, but we all are scattered during the week, aren't we? We all have to go back to our jobs where people live in ungodliness and wickedness and promote wicked things. We all have to go back and we have dealings with other people, friends and neighbors who do not care about God, don't want to hear us talk about Jesus, and really don't want to know anything about the Bible or church. You see, this is our responsibility today, to stand strong and confess the name of Jesus in our world, because the day is coming when you'll stand before the glorious throne of God and the Lord Jesus will say of every Christian, that's by the way, an overcomer, here is this one, and tell your story and not be ashamed of you in heaven. I have three observations and they're a little bit long and I know they are, but I wanted to try to say these things in such a way that you'd understand what I believe is behind these promises in verse 5 of Revelation 3. Number one, believers will be openly acknowledged by Jesus Christ to God the Father and to the angels when they enter heaven. The spotlight will be on you. Oh yes, we'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give account for the things we've done in the flesh, but we'll also be confessed by the Lord Jesus Christ before God the Father and the angels. And I would add, before all of the rest of the saints. Believers will be welcomed by Jesus Christ when they enter heaven, which is prepared for them. Heaven is prepared for us. It's not a last minute thing with God. Oh, we got to get ready for all these saints coming up here. It's prepared. Heaven is prepared. And believers will be completely justified and acquitted from the penalty of sin when they enter heaven. You see, we're saved completely, justified completely, but there's a final act. There's a final act. There's a statement being made when the Lord Jesus confesses us before the Lord Jesus, before the Father, when he confesses us. This is what I want us to think about for just a moment. I want us to look at two verses in the Bible, in the Gospels, that talk about why Jesus would confess believers before God the Father. Well, the answer is because we have confessed him in the world. Now, if you have your Bible, I'm going to sound like an auctioneer for a minute, but I want you to make sure you know where I'm going so that you can find your place. Matthew chapter 10. I don't know if I could make an auctioneer. I'm running out of breath. Matthew chapter 10. Verse number 24, Matthew chapter 10, verse 24. The Lord Jesus now is talking about the meaning of discipleship. Matthew 10, 24. A disciple is not above his teacher. Remember that, Christian. You're not more important than Jesus. You're not more important than Jesus. No matter who you are, what you do, you're not more important than Jesus. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master. He's master, we're servants. It is enough for the disciple that he become like his teacher. That's all the Lord's expecting. Be like Jesus. Be like Jesus. And the slave like his master. If they have called the head of the house Beelzebul, that is devil. If they've called Jesus devil, how much more will they malign the members of his household? Expect it on the earth. Expect it. Expect to be ridiculed, called names, killed, mocked, and persecuted. Expect it when you stand up for Jesus. Therefore, do not fear them, for there is... Don't fear all of this. For there is nothing concealed that will not be revealed. I hope you're hearing that today. You got something hidden away in your life? This week we've heard, well, here's some new revelations about a preacher who didn't live the way he should have, and all of a sudden it's come back. Oh, listen. Not only here, but there in heaven. Everything that's been concealed will be revealed. Everything that's hidden will be known. No secrets in heaven. It's all out. It's all been broadcast. It's all been told. It'll be known for eternity and for the ages. What I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light. What you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim upon the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Don't fear them, fear him. Don't fear them, fear him. He goes on. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. Therefore, are you ready? Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Now I'd like for you to read also with me Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. If you'll find Luke chapter 9 and begin reading with me in verse number 23. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse number 23. The Lord Jesus now, right after the feeding of the 5,000, he turns to the crowd. This is to the world now. This is a call to the world to become disciples, followers of Jesus. And he says to them, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. I'll read it again. If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself. He must take up his cross daily, and he must follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? Now this is our verse, verse 26. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Are you ashamed of Jesus today? Are you afraid to confess his name because of what the consequences might be for your life? Are you more worried about what the world will think about your values and your behavior and the crowd you run with more than you're concerned about what the Lord Jesus would think? I will tell you this, if you follow Jesus, you will stand and represent the Lord in his hard, demanding words. You see, there is no compromise when it comes to following Jesus. The Lord made it clear, you're with me or you're against me. You're with me or against me. When the Lord Jesus speaks words such as, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, no one comes to the Father but by me. No one comes to the Father but by me. No one comes to the Father but by me. That demand is global. There are no exceptions. There are no other religious ways to heaven. No one comes to God except by me. This is the statement. These are the demands of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't stand to apologize for what Jesus said. Well, what he really meant. No, he meant what he said. And he said what he meant. The Lord Jesus has spoken these words to us. He has given commands to all of us who are followers of Jesus. And I'm asking all of you who are followers of Jesus, are you obeying the commands of our Lord? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Some of them aren't that easy. All of them demand us to kill our flesh. All of them require that we separate ourselves from some and certain things in order to please the Lord Jesus Christ. His words, his ways don't fit the world. Nobody here wants to hear about Jesus. He's been dismissed by many as a historic person who tried to do something good, and the Jews and Romans got to him. But we have stood to say, we have sung all morning, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb who is slain. We have come here worshiping him. Are you ashamed to submit to the commands of Jesus in your life? Here's the point. I'm sorry, I can't do that with you all. Because I'm a follower of Jesus. That's what happened in the early church. We always want to go back to the early church. Let's go back to the obedience of the early church. Surrendering their property, giving up everything because of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and his requirements for what we do as a Christian and what we don't do. We ought not to look like the world. We ought not to act like the world. We ought to be of unique people, people who have holiness about us. Not better than, but people who deeply care about other people like the Lord Jesus, and we do it without allowing ourselves to become like the Sardis church. What did the Lord say to the Sardis church? Many, he said, many had soiled their garments. There is this thing in the minds of many Christians that I can have a little of the world just to be comfortable. We like the world, especially American Christians. We don't have it hard. We've got everything. We're spoiled. We have need of nothing. And in all of our happiness and our worldliness, We have soiled our garments, as we talked about last week. We live in sin. And there is this idea that we can somehow serve the Lord with our soiled garments. Look, if you have a stain on your clothes, everybody sees it. It's noticeable. When you live and say you're a believer, what did the Lord say? You say you are alive, you have a name that you're alive, but you're dead. The reality is that we have the responsibility to submit completely to the commands of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the church. I'm talking about the church in our laissez-faire, lukewarmness of the day, where we seem to just are mealy-mouthed. We seem to stand up for things that don't really matter, and we don't speak out upon the truths of God's word that He requires. Are you ashamed to be a follower of Jesus? Are you ashamed to submit to His commands? Are you ashamed of God's people? You know, we're not the prettiest. We're not the trendsetters. We're not the people who you go to, you know, the big crowds don't want to gather to be around us. We're the church. Not many wise, not many noble. God has called the weak things of the world to confound the wise. You see, the early church wasn't ashamed of the gospel. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Are you? Well, you see, I'm ashamed of the gospel if I'm not willing to share the gospel. Let's just put it up here. If I'm not willing to share the gospel with the people that God puts me around, all of us in this room, you live around all kinds of people. I don't live there. I mean, you call me up, preacher, come over here. You got to tell them about the gospel. I'm happy to do that, but I got my own assignment. You live all around these people. And Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. He was chained up most of his ministry, drug from Roman jail to Roman jail. Boy, he preached to every Roman soldier. How would you have liked to have had the job to be hooked on to Paul for a whole shift and listen to gospel all day long? That's what was happening. Are you ashamed of the gospel? Are you ashamed to be a witness for Him? Are you ashamed to tell people when they look at your life and say, oh, that's a really bad problem you have? And you say, well, I'm trusting God. And they somewhat laugh and smirk. And almost say, or maybe they say, well, I hope that goes well for you. Paul said, I'm not ashamed. Are you ready for this? Oh, I'll give you the quotation. 2 Timothy 1:12. I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that He is able to keep what I have committed to Him against that day. I'm not afraid to take any of my troubles to Jesus. When the world sees Christians praying and trusting God in hard life circumstances, there's a witness for Jesus. Not covering it up, but being unashamed and saying, I am unashamed of Jesus. And I am following Him and trusting Him in all of my circumstances. I just remind you again of what the Lord said. Whoever confesses me before men, I will confess before my Father, and that will be a glorious day of honor. Look, some of you have had great honors bestowed upon you. You've been recognized in various kinds of places in your life. There'll be nothing to compare to the heavenly recognition you receive out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the way, knows you better than you know yourself. I don't have time to speak of the second thing here because we talked about it last week, but I just remind you, you're getting some eternal clothes. When you enter heaven, you're reclothed. And the clothes never wear out. And the clothes are stain-proof. And the clothes reflect the glory of God. You reflect the glory of God and the righteousness of Jesus because in Christ you have been made new. So what do we read? He who overcomes, verse 5, will be clothed with white garments. You get to heaven and you get your new garments. You get your new clothes. You get your clothes and there you are in that glorious place. But I must quickly say this, and your name will not be erased from the book of life. We read these words in Revelation chapter 20 And the sea gave up its dead. I'm reading 2013. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. You see, believers' names are written in the book of life. Only the Lord would have the authority to erase a name. And because he knows us and speaks to God about us, this is that final act. This is that final blessed act of complete justification. If God is for us, who can be against us? When you stand with Jesus Christ before God the Father, and he speaks of you and is not ashamed of you, in heaven, it is the final act of justification. It is that statement, your name is not erased from the book of life. Believers' names are recorded there because we have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are those who have eternal life. We're counted righteous as a result of believing in Jesus Christ. Yes, yes, on the earth, though I've been counted righteous, I still fall into sin, just as the Lord is speaking to this church. But I've got to repent. I've got to get it right. I've got to get up and do things and put things in order in my life. Believers, their names are written in the book of life, and it is a statement of our justification by faith in Jesus Christ. And we miss hell. We miss hell. I was talking with someone the other day, and they said, well, it just seems like that it's hard for people to be motivated to be saved if all we do is talk about hell. The problem is, we don't talk about hell. You can count on the fact that this preacher is going to talk about hell, because the Lord Jesus talked about hell. You see, the lake of fire, this is sometimes, and those who are unbelievers, they read this and they laugh at you, all of you Christians, worried about a lake of fire. And I want to say, how do you know there's not a lake of fire? Who told you? Who gave you your information? What are you basing it on? The Lord Jesus said, if you do not, let me just quote it, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Name written in the book of life. And I remind you of this other wonderful thing. Why the angels? Why the angels? And my time is up. Why the angels? He says here, I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Paul says something interesting in the book of Ephesians about this. He talks about the church, us today, on the earth. And he talks about how the angels and the principalities, the glorious angels of heaven, look at the church. Now, this is about you today. What do the angels think about the church of the Lord Jesus today? Well, I just simply remind you of what the Bible says, that in the book of Ephesians, it says that we are those who demonstrate the wisdom and the grace of God. We are those who demonstrate the grace, the manifold wisdom of God in salvation. Angels will look at saints in heaven forever and ever as the final glorious mark and act of the wisdom of God, the grace of God, and the mercy of God. We will be an eternal witness to the angels of the grace and glory and forgiveness and salvation of Jesus Christ. We will enjoy the pleasures of eternal acceptance. Oh, it's sad when we walk with people who are looking for acceptance and they don't know how to find it. They won't respond to Jesus. Well, you just got to keep telling them. You just got to keep letting them know the joy of acceptance in Jesus. You know, I can tell you this, friends. Paul said this about ambition. Paul said this about ambition. He said, I make it my ambition to be pleasing to him. I make it my ambition. Here is the ambition of my life, Paul said. What's your ambition? What's your ambition today? I'm talking to Christians. I make it my ambition that I may please Him. And I'm asking you today, is your life pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ the way you're living as a Christian? This is why we need prayer for the church, for revival. Because some of us have stained our garments, we need to wash them in repentance, get right with God. The days are short. Jesus is coming again. This is the real story. Wake up, do what you need to do now so that many might be saved before the terrible coming judgment of the Lord Jesus on the earth. What do we remember today? I've hammered it long enough. Whoever denies Jesus in this world will be denied by Christ in heaven. There's an old part of a song in the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy, that we don't know the tune. But the words are these. I'm just quoting one phrase. 2 Timothy 2:12. If we deny Him, He will deny us. If we deny Him, He will deny us. What a sad day it will be for believers when they stand before God and the Lord Jesus says, this is the beginning of hell. I'm convinced this is the beginning of hell. When before God they're judged and the Lord says, depart from me. Are you ready for this? I never knew you. Depart from me. I never knew you. And for that to echo and reverberate in their minds, in their spirit, for all of eternity in hell. I never knew you. I never knew you. So what do? We who are known by the Lord Jesus, we who are known by God and are His saved ones, tell the world about Jesus. Stand up for Jesus. Ye soldiers of the cross, lift high His royal banner. It must not suffer loss from victory unto victory. His army we shall lead till every foe is vanquished and Jesus Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus is our task. Do not be ashamed of the one who saved you. Stand up for Jesus. Confess His name, not worrying about what others may say. Stand up for Jesus and remember this. There will come an eternally pleasurable moment when you will stand and the Lord Jesus, your brother, will stand beside you and confess you before God the Father. I love those words that remind us of that when we think about the Lord who says to us that we are His and we belong to Him. He's not ashamed to call us brethren because we are His people born again. He who overcomes will thus be clothed in white garments and I will not erase his name from the book of life. And I will confess His name before my Father and before the angels to the praise of the glory of His grace. Now that's worth coming to church, even if the sermon wasn't any good. The words are worth it all to the praise of the glory of His grace. Don't mope around like you're not accepted. Quit moping around like you're unaccepted. Quit moping around like you don't have a friend. Quit moping around like you're some sad little dog and you didn't get your treat. Quit moping around. What a glorious day it is. You are known by the Lord Jesus Christ. He has given you the Holy Spirit of God. Live filled with the Spirit. Oh, I didn't even get to say to you. When the church was first told, don't talk in the name of Jesus. It's in Acts 4. Don't talk in the name of Jesus. They went back and had a prayer meeting and asked God to help them have boldness to talk in the name of the Lord Jesus. And the Bible says the place shook. They were all filled with the Spirit and they spoke His name. Are you ready with this? With boldness. Be filled with the Spirit, church. Be filled with the Spirit. And this week, go tell others that Jesus saves. To the praise of His glory, He's coming. The Lord is near to the door, closer than ever. The birth pangs of history, oh, the contractions, the pain, the terrors, the troubles, they remind us they're quicker than ever, and the judge is at the door. The judge is at the door. Our families must be saved before the judge comes. Our families must be saved. Our friends must be saved before the judge comes. You either believe this or you don't. And the way in which you determine whether you believe it or not is if you live it. The Lord Jesus is near to the door, and the church says, "Come, Lord Jesus."